I want to walk you back to those old days. I mean, can you go back that far, Mark?
I can. I'm young enough that I can remember, but I'm old enough to have them as memory.
All right. So let me walk you back. What's that one memory that stands out to you in that 1992 Sugar Bowl game that Alabama captured number 12 as far as national titles?
Well, you know, a fun story, Ryan, I like to tell is, you know, people going into that game, everybody was like, Alabama's going to get beat and, you know, we're not going to have a chance. And so we get in the game and we're beating them and pretty handily. And all of a sudden, I've been asked this question so many times. What were you guys thinking when George Teague ran the guy down? And I always like to say, I personally, and most of the team, was reacting the same way as the fans were. No! You know, he broke loose. And then it was like, he's going to catch him! He's going to catch him! You know, and then all of a sudden, it's like, he caught him! He caught him! He has the ball! I said, we went through the same emotion, you know, at that point as our fans were. So that's a pretty neat memory. But from a personal standpoint, Ryan, you know, I got to run the ball a lot as a fullback. But many times when I got to run the ball, it was a critical point or important part in the game because many of my carries came on third down to keep a drive alive and on fourth down. And then, of course, we had a fourth and short at a critical point in that game. And Coach Stallings and the staff had confidence to give me the ball. I got hit in the backfield, rolled off the initial tackler and defender, and was able to get a first down and keep a drive alive. And I think that kept a drive alive that pretty much put the nail in the coffin in terms of winning that game.
All right, Martin, go ahead and claim your claim to fame. You were never a player that lost a... Go ahead.
A yard is what I've been told.
Statistics back it up. Martin Houston claims to have never lost a yard as a running back. I'm just aggravating you, man. Martin Houston inside the game here in Tuscaloosa as we continue our conversation. I want to go back to that post-game sort of celebration because most of us, not that we didn't believe that Alabama could go to New Orleans, but the world doubted Alabama and probably a lot of Alabama fans. It's similar to Ohio State. Not a lot of folks believe that Ohio State can go there and beat Alabama. It's a little bit different role, but it's the same sort of memory there or the thought process of looking at Ohio State beating Alabama.
Correct. Yeah, and you know, we were coming off of we had a 22-game win streak, but Miami had a 29-game win streak, if I'm not mistaken. And not a lot of people had given us a chance. And I think what made that game so sweet in the postgame, one of my, not regrets, but one of the things I wish I had done more, Ryan, was enjoy the moment. You know, sometimes as a player, and that's what I feel like this team is doing, is they're enjoying this process. Many times you're in the midst of it, so you don't get to enjoy it. But I remember as that game was winding down, man, I can remember standing on the sideline looking around the Superdome and going, oh my God, I am on the number one team in the nation. We're going to be national champions. And that clock couldn't run fast enough, you know, for us to get to that. So for me, it was almost the post game for me was about I was married and had a young child, and so I wanted to get back and celebrate with my wife and kids because they didn't come to the game. So for me, it was more of that enjoying the last 5 minutes of the game and taking in the crazy love the Alabama fans that it makes trips and experiencing, you know, the close of that game and something I'll never forget. Hadn't thought about it in a while. I appreciate you bringing back up that memory of experience in that moment.
Martin, you brought up something, and I'm not going to try to tie it back to this, but as looking at the story, Urban Meyer said earlier this week,
in a way, when I came along, there was, you know, stipulations of how you could use the ticket. In other words, even though you got the ticket, you had to use, you know, so many for family, and I think you have one like wild card. And I don't know if that's changed or not. Prior to my generation coming, players usually could sell their tickets. And so that was a way that they got some compensation back. You know, those are the type things, Ryan, that I'm going, okay, everybody else is making a killing off of these tickets and off of the players. But even the things that would not be violations of, you know, of getting some extra benefit that students can't, other than the fact that I got tickets because I'm busting my butt for a year to get to this point, why can't I sell those tickets? Why can't I, be compensated? Why can't I use them as I choose? Things like that, they're so far removed from it. Now, guess what they're doing, Ryan? That group of people you just named, guess what they're doing with their tickets?
Well, they're providing them to corporate sponsors or their buddies in the system.
Favor.
Sure they are.
They're using it to create favor with people that they want to do business with. In other words, there's people in the NCAA and in the different parts in the committees and the college football playoffs that have tickets that they're going to turn around and give to someone. Oh, they may not get money for it, but somewhere down the road, they're establishing favor and relationship based off of giving that ticket. But yet, here's a player who yes, he gets to go have Christmas with Coach Saban because he couldn't go home, but when he comes back from winning a national championship, his bank account and his ability to see his family and to provide and just have a decent life on campus has not changed.
Martin Houston, right now inside the game, you know, if you and I went out tonight and we went to Best Buy or any other store and decided that we were going to buy 5 iPads or 5 Sega Genesis, McMoney will have to help me on the latest gaming system, okay? Okay, Martin, we'll show our age. We went out and bought 5 Atari systems, right? 2600 or 5200. I mean, those were some great games back then.
Joystick with the red dot, baby.
Oh, man, no doubt. I mean, I know, listen, we're showing our age, but I mean, those were some great systems, okay? So if we went over and we bought those and we decided to go over and find us 5 athletes on the campus of the University of Alabama or any other campus across, and if we gave those, we would be committing an NCAA violation. But you know, right, if you look at the bowl situation, I'm not about gifts, okay? I think, listen, if we can give the athletes more, the merrier, okay?
Yeah.
But you think about it just for a couple of minutes, because they base it on that we didn't give it to all of the student athletes. That's why it was a privilege to be a student athlete if we gave them an iPad. But if you look at the gifts that's being given out these bowl games, they're nice values. Now, I think they should be double or triple or quadruple that. I'm taking up for the athlete. But as long as they're a sponsor, it's okay. And I think I find that it just so hypocritical. When we're not even able to move the debate to a $500 stipend, but we'll allow these gifts to be given out as long as it's sponsored through the backdoor channel.
Yeah, as long as it's sponsored, Ryan, and I'm getting a lot of advertising and a lot of mileage out of it. Oh yeah, you can give to them during the bowl season, but forget the fact that the players may need something. And there's nobody going to get credit for it. No one's going to get a pat on the back for it, or no one's going to get more customers or more exposure. That's make the gifts. The gifts really aren't about the players. It's about the fact that these sponsors say, this is what we'll give you to put our name on it. And, hey, by the way, here's some gifts to give to the players. It's not about the players. It's about the sponsorship and the corporate thing. And I think, Ryan, I don't know, you know, you're going to go down there. But I think if we're not careful, it's going to hurt the college game. Because at least at the NFL level, the sponsorships can't, the players can't enjoy part of that opportunity. But it's going to get to the point where if college football is not careful, it's going to have that corporate side of the NFL, and the fans are the next ones that's going to get priced out of this thing.
Oh, if they're not already. If they're not already, Martin.
Yeah. Right now, it's just the player. You know, right now, the players are, we're saying the players aren't getting paid. The players aren't getting to participate. But you know what? At least right now, the fans can still afford to go, but it's getting close to where they can't. And as this thing continues to grow and TV grows and more revenue grows and coaches, which I, more power to them, give them $20 million if they're profiting $100 million. I don't care. CEOs is where the head coach is. And if he's bringing in more money than he's costing and making a profit, more power to him. But my point is that money is going to keep coming in because of the corporate sponsors and television. And what's going to happen is more and more tickets are going to be slotted for those, and less fans are going to be able to experience college football as we do today, Ryan. And when that happens, you're going to finally – I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take the fans saying, whoa, college football exists because of the players and us. But we're the only two that's not getting to enjoy the benefit of it. So.
Well, and I listen, we've debated this a couple of times. There were some numbers released early this week. John Solomon, CBS Sports, released an article that college football attendance numbers were the lowest they've been in 14 years. Lowest in 14 years. Now, a lot of that has to do with the 60-inch HD television that's sitting in your living room. Okay, I get that. But it's also, we're not making it convenient for the fans to go to these games and support their schools. Now, that's not a problem at Alabama, but it's a problem at, obviously, up the road at UAB. It's a problem to the South, at South Alabama, or even Mississippi State, or some of these other smaller schools that are not in heavily populated areas. I said it is a problem that we're looking at, and the numbers prove that it's a problem with looking at the lowest in 14 years as far as an average.
Yeah, Ryan, and you know, to me, an easy cop-out for these schools that are suffering, the easy cop-out for them is to blame the fans and say, well, the fans aren't coming because of the 60-inch television. That's true to a degree, but I think that there are literally hundreds and thousands of people who would come to see their team in person if the experience was worth the price of a ticket. You know, when you go to these bowl games, what do they do in the bowl game? At least they try to up the experience when you go to the bowl games. Well, in stadiums all across America, the prices have steady been going up, but all you get is come create your own tailgate experience and come to the game. The schools themselves are not doing anything else to warrant, you know, why is my ticket continuing to go up? And so you have the season ticket holders that pay, but then those other tickets are slowly being given to corporate America. And so people are like, man, I can create a great experience watching Alabama football or Mississippi State football or Ole Miss football at home. And so why would I spend all of that money just to come when I can create a great experience at home? And so I think college football is going to have to figure out how do we get value back. Because I don't think the ticket prices are going to go down. I think that they're going to have to decide to create more experience for the fan as they move forward.
Martin, I'm going to take a couple of minutes away from college football for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to close down it this way. We've got Christmas Day coming up here in about 6 days, if you're counting today. This time next week, we'll be celebrating Christmas with a lot of our families. What does Christmas mean to you?
Well, you know, Ryan, I look at it, the first few letters of Christmas is what it means to me. You know, Christ, Moth, more Christ is what Christmas means to me. And what do I mean by that? You know, God gave his son Jesus so because he loved us. And because he loved us, he gave. And to me, Christmas gives me an opportunity to once again be Christ-like, whether it's with family, friends, others. During this time of the year, we all tend to be in a more giving spirit. And to me, that is what represents who God is more than anything. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but Christ died for us because God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to whosoever believes in him and loves him and will repent and call upon him can be saved. And so to me, when I think about Christmas, it's reminding me of who I am, where I really fit in this universe, how important I am to the creator of this universe, and the fact that I can participate in something that he did by sending Jesus and showing that love by giving it to family and friends. It's not about the gifts for me, but it is awful nice to be able to give gifts, not necessarily of monetary value, but of value to the person that's receiving it. And to me, when I think about the Christmas season, I am humbled that my Creator loved me enough to help me find my way out of the mess that this earth is in, not just for eternity, but gives me the strength to live it and share it each and every day.
Martin, great way to sum up a wonderful conversation throughout 2014. I appreciate you being part of the show. Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Ryan, and to both of you, Money, McMoney, and to all of the Todd fans, Ryan, if I could just say to them, wish you all a Merry Christmas, and thank you for what you meant to the University of Alabama and the Crimson Tide and to the game. Into myself for these many years, and we wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you for your love and support.
And if you're looking for more of Martin Houston, you can find him there on Lurline Wallace Boulevard there in Northport. Martin, give us more details.
Yeah, with Alpha, great team, 65-plus years of service at the highest level, and just like Nick Saban has the best players in the business, Alpha has the best agents in the business. Your local hometown agent, I'm glad to be one of those. Would love the opportunity to serve you. Just come by, as he said, on Lurline Wallace Boulevard, North Porter. Give me a call, 205-826-1381. Auto, home, life, annuity, as well as commercial. Help you with any of your insurance needs. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve you and earn your business.